Hello and welcome to Quilter Cheviot's Markets Uncut podcast, your weekly insight into the topics and trends that we've been exploring for you here at Quilter Cheviot. Remember, so you don't miss future episodes, be sure to hit the follow button on whichever streaming platform you're listening on, or by following hashtag QC Weekly Comment on LinkedIn. I'm your host, Simon Doherty, Head of Managed Portfolio Services based out of our London office. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by my colleagues, Richard Carter, a head of fixed interest research, and Jarek Pominkiewicz, a member of the equity research team and analyst covering capital goods in the industrial space. Good morning to you both. Richard, I'll turn to you first, if I may. And obviously, we've had another busy week of political developments across the pond, a so-called Republican trifecta confirmed, and the first announcements of President-elect Trump's intended nominees and appointees. There's also a new acronym in town that we're likely to hear much more about over the next few years. Can you bring listeners up to speed with the latest news from Washington?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as you say, the main thing we've got to cover off is that Republicans have won all three sort of main branches of government. So that's going to give Trump sort of carte blanche, I guess, to do pretty much what he chooses, at least for the first 2 years until the midterm start. The market's kind of eagerly anticipating who's going to take over in sort of key economic and financial jobs. There's a lot of jockeying for position on that one, but we'll have to wait and see. But it sounds like it's going to be some sort of Titan of Wall Street who's going to be the next Treasury Secretary. But I imagine they'll be having to be very favourable towards tariffs for Trump to give him the job. Otherwise, the appointments probably, are interesting appointments. Probably have a few people scratching their heads from the sort of mainstream side of politics. Tulsi Gabbard as Director of National Intelligence has said some quite pro-Russian things in the past. So we'll see whether that one actually gets confirmed. So I think there's going to be an interesting couple of months ahead with that. The Department of Government Efficiency, I'm not sure, sort of straight out of Yes, Prime Minister, isn't it? Setting up a new department to try and make a government more efficient might not be the best way of doing it. But I guess on the serious side, the US has got, as we've talked about before, a massive deficit. If they can find some ways of making efficiencies and reducing the amount of debt the government needs to borrow, that would be a good thing. But I won't hold my breath for now.
No, quite a lot going on. And actually looking at markets, there was a lot more being considered than just the potential implications of a second Trump presidency. Two inflation prints last week, retail sales data, some revised retail sales data as well, and some pretty noteworthy comments from Jerome Powell too. So I think, it was a negative week for equities, finishing on a bit of a downbeat note. We also saw US Treasury yields continue to rise, the 10-year benchmark, 10-year yield at four-month highs now. So tell us your thoughts, if you can, on these moves as well. And with a view to next month and 2025, have expectations for rate cuts now changed?
Yeah, they have. I mean, it's not been a very good few months for bonds, to be quite honest. I mean, the two main things have been obviously the risk and then the actual victory by Trump in the US election. And also, people keep talking about recession around the corner or slowdown around the corner. But, the US economy just keeps sort of trundling along pretty happily. Inflation has come down, but it's not so low that the Fed's going to be slashing interest rates. So yes, those expectations have changed, and quite sharply, actually. I mean, about I think it was sort of September time, markets were pricing in sort of the Fed getting to sub 3% over the next year or two. That's now closer to 4%. So that has obviously had a big impact on Treasury yields, particularly, but not only at the short end. I mean, it does make sense because because I say the economy is holding up okay, and Trump's policies, I'm afraid, mostly are quite inflationary. So it's understandable that bond investors are a little bit wary about all this and want to see really, inflation come down to a more persistently low level, and then see what the impact of Trump's policies are. So, a rate cut is still you know, a couple more rate cuts still quite possible over the next few months. Beyond that, I'd say the path is a bit more uncertain.
No, great stuff. Thanks. And sticking on the topic of bonds, one area that's garnered increasing attention, certainly amongst commentators in recent times, is that continued tightening of corporate bond spreads over government bonds. And we're now at levels that we haven't seen for several decades. As always with fixed interest markets, there's quite a bit of terminology to unpick. And Richard, I think you're probably the best person to do that. But it would be very interesting just to hear your views on the potential reasons for these moves. And how are these themes influencing our positioning of clients' exposure when it comes to bonds?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, yeah, so as you know, most people probably know, when you buy a corporate bond rather than the government bond, you get a bit of extra yield. You know, it's called a spread, and that extra yield is pretty narrow at the best of times, or not much when you're buying a sort of, you know, high quality, you know, AA or AAA company, and you know, if you're lending to a sort of sub investment grade company with, you know, sort of double B or single B rating, that extra yield is going to be quite a lot more. Generally, at the moment, for a variety of reasons, those spreads are what we would say very, very tight, historically tight, as you just said. Reasons include, I would say, you know, robust strength of the US economy and, you know, generally global economy. You know, companies are doing well, making profits, no problem about them paying back their debt. You've got huge amounts of money, trillions and trillions, sat in sort of money market accounts. And as a, you know, there's a thirst for yield. And if people think that interest rates are gradually going to get cut, it makes sense to go, you know, go and push out the curve and buy some investment grade credit or something, you know, something that sort of nature. So there is a huge demand for yield. And you've also got an element to which, you know, there's a lot of worries about government debt, government deficits, particularly with Trump taking over. You know, that in some ways makes government debt a bit less attractive and corporate bonds a bit more attractive. So those have really tightened the spreads in to levels that are, I wouldn't say eye-watering, but I mean, you know, to give you a flavour, you know, high yield spreads, you know, a couple of years ago in the US were sort of 6% over at their peak over treasuries. Now they're about 2.5% over. So that's not much of an extra compensation if things go wrong. Now, I mean, just say on our positioning, I mean, we are cautious because of how tight those spreads are. But at the moment, we can't see anything that's really going to drive a big sort of underperformance from credit. And if you're sort of, you know, in the parlance too underweight, you're giving up a bit of extra yield. So you've got to be a little bit careful with that if you don't expect a catalyst for wider spreads anytime soon. But we're, you know, a little bit cautious. But to say, the good thing is that you know, we invest in corporate bonds mostly through external funds. It's been a good time for active fixed income and corporate bond managers. Their performance is generally pretty good. There's been some, you know, good opportunities around the world to take advantage of, you know, particularly in things like financials. So the funds that we do own for clients, I would say, are doing pretty well. But as I say, those tight spreads warrant caution, I would say.
Yeah, I'd very much agree. I think, you know, a need to tread carefully, but opportunities still arising and, you know, some excellent partners in the external manager space to take advantage of those. That's great. Thanks, Richard. Jarek, if I can bring you into the conversation now. Last week, our host Andrew and Richard highlighted the market's reaction in the immediate aftermath of the presidential election results. We saw some very big upward moves across various sectors. Financials was one. We also saw domestically focused small and mid-cap US stocks do very well. And we've also seen some weakness in areas such as those companies exposed to clean energy, certain segments of the healthcare sector as well. Turning to your area of expertise and coverage, how have company share prices reacted to Donald Trump's victory?
I mean, by and large, the reaction in the U.S. industrial space, the U.S. capital goods space, was by and large very positive. Share price moved up by close to 4% on the day, led by industrial automation names and equipment rental names. Some of these gains have been pared back since then, but they still were largely ahead of where we were prior to the election. I think at this point, there's investors are still trying to second guess essentially what the policies could be announced, because we're still in a period of the new administration being assembled. But by and large, there are certain themes that are largely consistent. I think what we've seen through of coming out from Mr. Trump over the past years was definitely the focus on perceived trade imbalances and the need to address them. Whether this will be through continuation of the fiscal stimulus initiated by the Biden administration or actually more through tariffs is yet to be seen. But the underlying objective is to bring back manufacturing either to, you know, so-called friends, or I think more so back into the US. That essentially, from my understanding, my view is that this will largely benefit the industrial automation names. There's a strong case for increasing automation because, you know, bringing back manufacturing back to the US shores effectively is likely to face constraints around labor and labor inflation there. To mitigate it, you'll have to invest more in automation to offset some of these headwinds. So we're, you know, generally fairly bullish here, fairly bullish on the equipment rental names that are likely to see some benefit from the increased spending on non-residential construction, even if some of the spending under the Inflation Reduction Act may be rolled back, although that is yet to be seen. The next area that we are thinking a lot of moves is defense. Mr. Trump has previously promised his ability to deliver peace in Ukraine in the next 24 hours. I think that's a lot more difficult, but we're seeing a proliferation of hostilities around the globe, and geopolitical uncertainty is clearly increasing. And while the support to Ukraine may at some point, the need for it may kind of in the near term cease, but reality is that the Western allies of United States will have to replenish their stocks given to Ukraine, but more importantly, they'll have to build up a deterrence, build up the capabilities to deter potential further aggression from Russia. And, you know, there will be a significant need to increase spending beyond the 2 percentage points, which is really the minimum set in the aftermath of the 2014 invasion of Ukraine. I think it will be have to move significantly beyond 2%. Some of the countries are already at 4%, but, you know, we may need to see actually spending increasing significantly beyond that. So it's essentially multi-year growth in orders and then revenues and profits for the defense exposed names.
No, that's really interesting. Thanks. And I think, you know, we are always at risk of potentially just focusing on, you know, the news cycle over the course of the last, you know, 48, 72 hours, recent weeks.
Yes.
But some real structural long-term themes in place, regardless really of foreign policy intentions in 2025. So really, really interesting to hear your take on that. And I think, you know, if we, again, if we look to maybe just park politics and recent developments in the short term, but look at this quarter's earnings season, you know, there are a lot of structural themes that are continuing to play out. And what have been those key trends that you've seen across the businesses that you research and you analyze in terms of their recent trading updates?
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely correct. We've effectively gone through about half of the reporting season when the election happened, and that largely overshadowed all the news flow from individual companies. But the results were really largely as what we expected. Electrical equipment names continued to sustain very strong demand trends seen previously. And these are largely infrastructure investment driven and data center investment driven. Mechanical names were generally weaker. Softer revenues development in the shorter cycle exposed names such as ball bearings. Discrete automation names were again reasonably softish as they continue to deal with the impact of distorted order patterns following the supply chain disruptions of the COVID pandemic. At the same time, process automation continues to perform relatively better. So these dynamics are continuing from the earlier quarters, really. But we have broader themes that we continue to like, and that's the electrification, not just the energy transition, but the ongoing strong demand that we see in data centers, the need for higher energy from AI and heavy data process applications that require increased specifications within the data centers of not only just the electrical equipment, but also the cooling equipment. And we've seen strong growth there that has benefited the likes of Schneider Electric. We're seeing, you know, if not outright improvement, but bottoming trends in discrete automation. And we think the longer term trends, demand trends there are very favorable, largely on the around the labor scarcity that's to some degree actually predated the COVID pandemic as well. And we're generally quite positive around the equipment rental businesses, which are facing a very favorable backdrop of a changing model in the construction industry, with contractors preferring or increasingly preferring to rent the equipment rather than outright owning it. And has been quite a strong tailwind for the equipment rental names.
No, fantastic. And obviously themes that can be reflected across client portfolios. So, do speak to your investment manager if you'd like to know more about that. Gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Thank you both for those great insights. And thanks to you all for listening as well. Just as a reminder that if you enjoyed our discussion on the podcast today, we would love to hear from our listeners. So do review the show wherever you're listening from, share it on social media, and tag us at Quilt Achieviate. And to make sure you don't miss a future episode, please also tap the subscribe button to receive this on an ongoing basis. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, head over to our website, www.quiltachieviate.com, where you can read the accompanying market overview, as well as subscribe to our weekly comment newsletter. You can also stay up to date with our thoughts on market news, industry insights, and upcoming events and webinars on our website, or indeed on our social media pages. And with as much as there is currently going on, I'd very much encourage you to listen to some of that excellent insight from colleagues and external experts as well. And lastly, if you have any questions you'd like to ask one of our experts for our next podcast, then please ask them via the weekly comments page on our website. We love to hear from you and to receive your questions. That's it for today. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Yarrick, for your time. And again, to all of you for listening. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks very much.